Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. For 35 years, New Life has been transforming lives one at a time thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi there. Welcome to New Life Live. So glad you're with me. Dr. Jim Burns is in the studio. Hey, Jim.
Hey, Steve. Good to see you. Good to talk with you.
Jim and I toured the world and wrote probably the most read book that we wrote. We wrote for Focus on the Family, Drug Proof Your Kids.
That's right. And you know what? I had fun touring the world with you. You were a blast. People, I mean, they get it on the air that you can be funny, but you're ridiculously funny when you're touring together and we're all tired. And anyway, great experiences. Thank you.
It really was. But Jim has really mastered the parenting world and created some great books, and he's going to be part of our session on April the 1st, no fooling. And we're talking about adult children. And he wrote a book, Doing Life with Your Adult Children. Very, very good book. Dr. Jill Hubbard will join us in a bit. But, you know, we've had some emails and phone calls about hoarding. And I've discovered that there are several different reasons that people hoard. One is they can't let go of things, obviously. It's just hard for them to let go. Some, they can't get enough of things. It provides comfort to have many things. And then others are in the throes of procrastination, or you could say they're paralyzed in procrastination. They have stuff, and they want to organize it, or they want to go through and find things to keep and to let go. But the procrastination situation just keeps them stuck, and they never do what they actually want to do until somebody comes in and helps them. It is a horrible, horrible problem, and I want to help people get free of it. Jim, have you come across much hoarding?
Well, you know, we had a neighbor who actually, she's now passed away, and when we found, we didn't know this, and when she died, her house, there was only a little path going up some stairs, and she used one room, and she hadn't been in the kitchen for 10 years. And, you know, she was a troubled person. Obviously, everybody who hoards doesn't do that. She was doing more than procrastination. There was an issue there. But, yeah, it's tough. I do that. You know, Kathy told me before Christmas that I had 3 T-shirt drawers, and I need to move them to 2. And, you know, we've been married 48 years, and I've learned, yes, dear, and I haven't done it yet. And she let me know that I got about a week, or she's just going to get rid of T-shirts. I said, no, all of these are special. She said, they have holes in them. I said, they're still special. What I need to do is declutter.
Right.
And I find that people who do declutter, they actually have some freedom that they didn't have before. And I'm not just talking about garages and T-shirt drawers, but I'm talking about life, personal life too.
Right.
So I think it's sometimes true. We hoard on the inside as well.
Yeah. Hoarding resentments is one of the most dangerous things you could ever do. But I remember back in the dating days, dating an extremely wealthy young woman in Dallas, and they really lived in a mansion. And one day, she took me upstairs, and that's where her mother lived. Mm-hmm. And it downstairs, perfect. Upstairs, newspapers, magazines, clothes stacked almost to the ceiling. It was unbelievable. That's when I kind of got interested in how in the world, not did this happen, but how do you ever overcome it? We're doing emotional freedom, you know, and that workshop, we could help you see some things if you join us. And of course, that's going to be the 21st, this coming weekend, emotional freedom. And we would love for you to come be part of that great great day where people deal with all sorts of emotions that are a problem. You can sign up 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you want to join us here, 1-800-229-3000. We'll be right back with your calls.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Jim Burns and Dr. Jill Hubbard. You had a thought about hoarding.
Yeah, guys, I was listening to what you were saying about hoarding. And I think also people hold on because sometimes there are parts of our lives that feel not fully lived. And so holding on to the stuff is somehow there's this irrational thought that you can relive it or expand on that. And there also, I don't know if you guys touched on the fact that there's a difference between hoarders and clutterers. And like most things, there's kind of a continuum. And clutterers are often very anxious about what is around them, whereas full-blown hoarders, they're so much a part of it that it doesn't bother them. It makes everyone else anxious, but it doesn't bother them.
So you've got hoarders and clutterers. Then there are people like me, collectors. And I love to collect things. And the other day, my wife and son were talking to someone, and Goodwill came up, and she said, "Oh, does your husband like to go to Goodwill?" And they just burst out laughing. Like, if you don't know that about Steve, you just, because, you know, the movie of my life will be entitled Goodwill Hunting. And, all right. So, I do like to look for great bargains, and I love to develop collectors. Speaking of hoarding, let's talk to Cheryl, Colorado Springs, KGFT. Hi, Cheryl. How are you today? And thanks for joining us here on New Life Live.
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
Excellent.
I had a mother. Well, my mother was a hoarder, and now her sister is doing the same thing. It was kind of easy. Well, I shouldn't say easy, but it got to the point where we had to put my mom in assisted living. And so, she really didn't have a whole lot to say about different things with her dementia and stuff. But now my aunt is doing the same thing, and she said, "Well, I'm not as bad as what your mother was." But yes, she is. And she is very defensive. And so just any tips on what I can do to say to her without her getting angry.
So, yeah, well, good luck with that. But I just want to do, does she tell you why she hoards? Has she given you any thought about that?
No. Right now she's using the excuse that her husband passed away a year and a half ago.
Okay.
And she's just using that as an excuse now. She says, "I know I need to do this because," she said, "I don't want my kids to go through what my sister and I went through with my mom." And I said, "Well, you need to start one room at a time and start small."
Okay, so Cheryl, I'm going to suggest another approach, okay? Because this stuff does run in families. And we also need to remember that about halfway through life, or maybe a little bit more than halfway, things get harder, and yet people's expectations of themselves remain either the same or still idealistic, right? So it's harder to do things. I suggest your aunt is saying, talking about, "Well, I don't want you to go through what, you know, we went through with my mom." Hey, Aunt, tell me about that. What was it like for you growing up with your mom? Tell me what it was like as a kid and when you would see her doing these things. Get her talking, because they're so much rooted in those feelings from the past that isn't talked about, right? And so the stuff is also becomes part of what is unspoken, right? It becomes a buffer. It becomes a protection. It becomes a way of representing those parts of life that haven't really fully been gone through. So think about it is, instead of talking to her about getting rid of boxes, because that never really helps with the hoarder, that's the last stage practical step. Start unpacking things emotionally with her.
Very, very good. Okay. And the other thing, well, she has pointed out, which is kind of projection, it's my husband's death that has led
sure.
to all this.
Well, that's the next layer, right?
Yeah. And of course, mm-hmm. rationalization and projection are the two most common things that keep people stuck. She rationalizes that she's mm-hmm. not as bad as her sister, and then it's all because the husband died. So if you can just help her talk about some things that she may have no one to talk to, really
right.
could be helpful. Jim, you have a thought here you want to share?
No, I think what you're saying, both of you are saying, is exactly what you need to do, Cheryl. And you know what, Cheryl, also, you can't change her all the time. So mm-hmm. sometimes you have to live with someone who isn't doing it the way you would do it. And unless that's totally affecting you in the most negative of ways, you know, I do what they're talking about. Because, you know, there are people, a lot of people do hold on to a spouse's clothes, things, tools, you name it. And then one day they kind of go, you know what, now's the time. And you know, you can even say to your aunt, you know, when that time comes, and obviously it's going to come, I'll be there to help you if you want. But again, I wouldn't super push everything unless there was something just so negative going on. But you know, to have someone, that woman is probably lonely and she needs to talk about her issues. And yeah, she needs to talk about her mom. She needs to talk about her husband and what's going through. And you know what? Who knows? While she's having that, she may then say, hey, could you help me with this, you know, one closet? And like you said, you're going to do things in very small pieces. Life changes. But mm-hmm. get yeah. to that emotional health for her, and some of that will go away on its own.
All right. I'll send you okay. Take Your Life Back, and I hope that you could maybe talk to her about some things in that book, because obviously you want her to be free.
Well,
might even
about,
suggest emotional freedom.
What about
to come to that work?
Sorry, Steve. The Grief Workbook?
Grief Workbook. I can send you Life Recovery Bible with the Grief Workbook, helping her grieve what she's lost, and talk about hoarding things. People hoard and they don't mean to, these soul-searing, painful emotions from loss, and grief is the gift from God that allows us to separate ourselves and not have to experience that pain like it just happened. All right, 1-800-229-3000. And how about we talk to Dustin? Hi, Dustin. How are you today? Good. Thank you for calling us. How's it going?
Hi. Thank you so much for taking my call. It's going well. How are you guys?
Doing okay. What's on your mind today, Dustin?
Oh, man. A little bit complex, but first of all, I wanted to say I'm so grateful for you guys. You know, like, I love your show and everything you guys do. And just a quick rundown. So my wife and I are at the verge of getting a divorce, and both of us very desperately want to not get a divorce. And we have signed up for the intimacy and marriage workshop in February, and we're going to be going there.
Okay.
We're adamant about that. And but we have some very, very harsh core issues, and we don't know how to work through them. They are the primary core issue is related to blended family. I have an 18-year-old daughter and a 17-year-old son from a previous marriage. But to the complexity of it is, like, so she's diagnosed with bipolar 1 with psychotic features and borderline personality disorder. I am diagnosed with panic disorder, agoraphobia, and I've been struggling with codependency for a very long time. And we both have a history of substance abuse and psychiatric hospitalizations and all kinds of things. We've both been sober for many years, you know.
Well, is that all you have to deal with? I mean, Come on. No, that's a lot. And the reason you're calling us today is what? What would that reason be?
We love each other dearly, and we have, in our opinion, exhausted just about anything we could think of. We've been to various different Christian marriage counselors.
Yeah.
We have tried to implement things that have been suggested to us, but at every single time, in my opinion, what always comes in is the mental health in connection with the blended family, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they just make issues that are already prevalent, make them, in my opinion, unmanageable.
Okay. So the question for us would be what? Just
like, what resource could we try? What other thing could we try other than what we've already tried? Like, do you guys have, like, do you know of a Christian counselor who specializes on things like borderline personality disorder in blended families and things like that?
Yeah. Well, first things first, I think you've really made a bold move that's going to change so very much for the relationship. Now, we do have counselors, and some specialize in various things, and you live in a metropolitan area, so we should be able to help you with that. In the meantime, you know, there are certain things that make it better, and there are certain things that make it worse. How does your 18-year-old daughter fit into how things get worse between the two of you?
So, just a quick, so it escalated a few years ago when there was a situation with her, with my ex-wife, and in my opinion, after that, everything kind of declined. And now, from my perception, it is any time when there's any situation involving my daughter, my wife will get triggered.
Okay.
And so, but some of the recent conflict examples are, for example, so my daughter is 18 going on 19, and she still comes over every other weekend.
Okay.
And my wife does not agree with that. And another example is my daughter calls like lately once a week and asks if she can come over to do her laundry. And I say yes to all these things, and in my wife's perception is she gets triggered because I don't say no to these things.
Okay. Well, that's tough because my daughter, I would want her coming over. Mm-hmm. I'd want to stay connected, want those things. And it's really sad that, and of course, this is just us talking with you, that your wife doesn't see that as a positive thing. And I really believe it's much more about you and how you treat your wife versus daughter. It's kind of like sibling rivalry. Many times, because that's a pretty benign thing. It's not like she comes over and smokes pot and gets drunk. She comes to do the laundry. Jill, start us off here, and then Jim, what are you thinking?
Well, and I'm thinking she wants to be around you, and that maybe she needs space from her mom. I'm wondering if your current wife somehow, because of the upset with your ex-wife, has kind of merged your daughter and ex-wife together in her mind, right? So it's kind of like, yeah, so the daughter is the same as if the ex-wife were coming over and doing laundry. She feels like a threat.
She even verbalizes that.
Yeah, so it feels like a threat to the relationship. So one of the things that's really important is to really, with your wife, establish that she, you know, even though the kids came first, that she is your, you know, partner and main priority, that the kids are separate than that, and they're also a priority, but that to reassure her in your commitment to her. And so that may mean sometimes putting some boundaries around your daughter to support your wife. I also am hoping that you both are in individual therapy as well as marital therapy, and that perhaps your wife could really benefit from DBT, dialectical behavioral therapy. And I don't
All right,
know
we'll have another
that.
Comment or two after this. Glad you called. 1-800-229-3000. We'll hear from Dr. Jim Burns And these blended family things, boy, are they ever complicated. And I'm going to send him my book on being a great bonus dad, because it can help you understand all those dynamics where kids, younger kids, think it's a, well, it's a hostile takeover is what it is, and it's a hostage negotiation.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back, and Jim Burns, Dr. Jim Burns, has a comment or two, maybe even three, up his sleeve. So what are you thinking there, Jim?
Hey, actually, Dustin, I think you're really asking the right questions. You're doing the right work by going to counselors and by doing this. I mean, you've got two issues here. You've got a blended family, and blended families are tough. You know, I don't even use the word blended family as a person who speaks on parenting very often, because it's really hard to blend a family, frankly. It can happen. There's possibilities, but, you know, nobody comes into this going, this is going to be simple. It's simpler to fall in love, and then, but to bring the whole family together is a lot tougher, as you're finding out. And then also with mental health issues, you've got an uphill battle that you're dealing with. On the blended family side, Dustin, let me just simply say that, you know, your daughter wants connection with you. That's awesome. I mean, she could find another place, I'm sure, to get her laundry, you know, go do her laundry. However, because she wants that, that's a good thing, a beautiful thing, because a lot of times at 18, you see a lot of kids who don't want to be with their dad right now. And so I would suggest that you find time. If it's really, really bugging your wife, maybe you take a time out on that a little bit, but not a time out with your daughter. That you spend some time outside with her. You take her on a date. You go, and this may cause some jealousy on your wife's part too, I understand. But, you know, have some daughter time that doesn't intrude on your wife's time. And continue to let your wife know that she is, you know, numero uno, even though she's sometimes not acting like it. On the mental health side, I can't add to what Jill said. Make sure that you're both getting the help you need to deal with life and to cope with things. Because when you're talking about your wife, again, we don't know her, we don't have the privilege of talking with her, but, you know, when you're talking about bipolar, anybody with a bipolar disorder, they can make it. There's issues, obviously, but they can get help if they're in a almost constant therapy situation. If they're not, as you well know, because you were talking about, you know, how long you've been sober, you've made some good choices. They're not going to do well. So you parent your blended child with whatever kind of mental health issues are going on too. You got to kind of keep those together. But at the same time, with your daughter, you don't have to bring her into a toxic situation. You can do that a little bit outside for a bit. Maybe sometime there's when you all are getting better, you know, your daughter can come into that picture and your wife will understand that it's not your ex who's coming over. It's your daughter.
Yeah. So I'll send you Understanding and Loving Your Bonus Child. You can find some things that maybe help communicate what's going on in the relationship here. It'll show you some dynamics that happen in these blended families. But also, sometimes we're rocking along and we turn down a road and we're on that road. And it's the wrong road. A lot of times we're kind of people that we don't like to backtrack. And so we don't stop and turn around. We just keep going down the road thinking, well, it'll meander around to where I want it to go. And I think inviting your wife to just experience something different, a different road as you come to intimacy and marriage, it's going to help you. So very much. Now, I did a little research project and came up with the 7 things that nobody should do in a marriage and the 7 things that really build on a marriage. And I'm going to send that to you. And it's really helped a lot of people because, for instance, it says that we really must eliminate criticism. So some people have the spiritual gift of criticism. So it's hard for people to do it, but I'll send it to you. I hope it'll provide some insight and look forward to what's going to happen when you get to intimacy and marriage. 1-800-229-3000. We're going to be here for another hour and a half, and you can join us then. Right now, we're going to talk to Darren, Fort St. John, Canada. And Darren, welcome, and how are you doing today? What's on your mind?
I'm doing okay, well, sort of, but
sort of okay.
The beginning of the show, you were talking about obsessive compulsive behaviors.
Yeah.
And, well, I've had a problem gambling my entire adult life, and mm-hmm. every time I think I've got some sort of grip or some sort of control on it, I don't.
Yeah.
And that I stumble, fall, and blow another $1,000 or $2,000, and it's got to stop, and I don't know what to do. Sometimes I wonder, do I have enough faith to actually believe that, you know, the Holy Spirit can actually help me with this, or is it just my flesh is, like, overwhelmingly weak when it comes to the face of it? Like,
well, you know what? I just... go ahead. Do you listen to the show?
I've been listening for a while now, and I was just like, I know that you guys have great advice, and I need to talk to somebody, because local counselors have done nothing for me. They just say, oh, here's a pill for your self-destructive behavior.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm glad you called. You know, you're like one of the greatest men that ever walked the face of the earth. Because Paul, the Apostle Paul, said, the very thing that I want to stop, well, here I am, doing it again. And the very thing that I don't want to do, I do it. The very thing I do want to do, I can't. That kind of stuff. It's the human condition. Now, what Paul was talking about, I have to believe, was quite different than a gambling problem. But we all have these things. I just wrote about this in the 1 Year Bible for Men about this is the last day. We declare this is the last day, and then we find out tomorrow is proof that it wasn't the last day. So how do we get out of that trap? I'll tell you about that right after this.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the new member thank you gift of the Life Recovery Bible Personal Size, the 1 Year Life Recovery Prayer Devotional, the New Life Journal, a New Life Pen and Highlighter, and a New Life Zipper Tote to hold it all. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. And I don't know if anybody's ever talked to you about this, Darren, but you know you're actually a drug addict. Has anybody ever talked to you about that?
No, I know that. And
okay. The mood changes, the drugs start pumping inside the second you start thinking, oh, well, maybe it wouldn't be so bad this time, or maybe I would win this time. I don't know of drug addicts who ever get off their drug of choice by trying harder, saying, I'm not going to do it anymore. You must find a group of other gamblers that have successfully found victory, and you must become part of that group. If there was some other way, I'd say, yeah, do it. But no therapist, no drug can replace the power of a group who have struggled the way you struggled and found victory. That I just don't have any other answer for you.
Well,
now, maybe Jill and Jim can give some insight here, but that group thing, is the way drug addicts quit using drugs.
Yeah, that's the number one thing for alcoholics, drug addicts, sex addicts, gambling addicts. And it's that accountability. And when you're struggling, instead of going to the thing that you want to do, you call somebody in the group. And so you have to be in close communication. Right?
Right.
And that helps to hold you and contain you, because as the anxiety rises, right, we all want to cut and run and get some relief. And the quickest relief is the thing we've found that is the addiction.
Yeah. You know, Darren, I'm going to tell you about another Darren. This is somebody I met in Cannon Beach, Oregon, and he had a gambling problem, and he said that he prayed, and just as you mentioned, you know, the Holy Spirit. And he said, I think I have enough faith, and I pray, and I don't know why God doesn't take this away. And long story short, he ended up getting into a Gamblers Anonymous group. He found one. He happened to live near Portland, Oregon, but he found a group, and I'm not sure if there's one right by you, but you can do it online. And he found a group, and he said at first he met 7 days a week in accountability with these people, and he said that wasn't enough. He had to actually, you know, add a morning or a conversation with somebody else. But in that accountability, he found and confession. And, you know, the Bible says when you confess, you are healed. And so healing comes out of the confession side. Well, I ran into him a while back, and he's now remarried because the gambling had cost that. It actually had put him in prison for a couple of years because of debt issues. But you know what? The plan worked. It's what Steve said. It's what Jill said. The plan worked for this guy. Today, he's free from that. But you know what he does? He still goes to a meeting once or twice a week, even though he's now not one who, he said, I don't even feel as strong of a temptation, but I'm there just in case, and then I can also help people. He said, in helping people, you know, it really keeps me strong. I think his story, funny enough that his name was Darren, just like yours, but I think his story can become your story. But again, the question I have is, are you willing to roll up your sleeves and do the work to do that? Because that's a lot of work. And, you know, it's easier, to be honest, and sometimes people look for this, and yeah, God does miraculous things every moment of every day. But just like Darren in Oregon, who prayed, God, take this away from me. And then he was mad at God because God didn't take it away from him. I think what God wanted him to do was get in an accountability group, stay strong within working a plan that we know works. Because although addiction is so strong, and with when Steve talked about, you know, the dopamine that comes into your mind and brain and everything else, yeah, there's a great feeling to that. There's an answer for you, but the answer is not an easy answer.
Yeah, and there are all sorts of fatal excuses. And many times the humility that God's looking for is the beginning of connecting with other people. Now, think about this. There's a blind man. Jesus is there, and Jesus spits in the sand and makes mud and puts it on his eyes. What if that guy had held up his hands and said, "Ew, I don't want that on me," because he's, you know, a germaphobe or something like that? He wouldn't be healed. So there was some willingness there to do something that didn't make any sense at all. Here, put some mud in your eyes from my spittle, and you're going to be better. So it may not make sense to you. You may rationalize, you may project, you may stall and delay. I'm going to send you the Life Recovery Bible and a workbook, and if you'll get into that, get into a life recovery group, get into a face-to-face life recovery group, and an online Gamblers Anonymous group, you can turn this around. But it's not fun, but it's a lot better than what could happen if you continue to fall back into it. And we don't want that for you. All right. 1-800-229-3000. Larry Sonnenberg, how you doing today?
Doing good, Steve. Thank you. Wanted to talk, just remind people, we had this Club New Life gathering last week.
Yeah.
And just that it went really well. We had a lot of people there. Steve spoke, did a great job, had a lot of comments and questions about it, so it was just a really nice time.
Toxic tribal affinity was the topic right there.
So if I want to say that as an enticement for folks to think about joining Club New Life, we'll do another one of these at least next quarter, if not sooner. I mean, it was such a good time. So think about joining Club New Life monthly giving program, and as a benefit of that, you could be on this Zoom call with Steve and our staff. There are several of our staff there.
One of many benefits that people in the club have. But the biggest benefit is every time somebody gets better, you're part of that better.
The other thing is we've got Emotional Freedom coming up this Saturday online. And I want a short little testimony from a lady that recently attended. She said, "I realized I've been holding on to more hurt than I have been telling myself. I didn't know the proper word for it at all, but it's unresolved emotion. I was taking past anger, reacting to those who are close to me. I was nervous about spending time in a group, but that was the best part of the workshop. Those women poured so much into me, and it was beyond fulfilling." So, folks, there you have it. I mean, that's one person's account, but it's that group time is really special.
Well, resentment is such a big problem. I would like to just go over some of the benefits of resentment. Okay, I'm done. So there's just nothing. You know, one of the great sayings is, "I don't have the luxury to have a resentment." Yeah. I just think that says it all. And you can get help from that. You can get help from procrastination. That's one of the things in the Emotional Freedom Workbook. People think, why would that be? Well, it's huge. Procrastination is huge. And so we're going to help you with that this weekend. I hope you'll join us. Anything else that you want to say, Larry?
No, I don't think so. Just thank you for continuing to give. It's really important. We got a lot of things planned we want to do, and we're going to need your help. So thank you.
Sure do. All right. 1-800-229-3000. Now, if you can support us and join Club New Life, that number, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. And we would love to have you on our support team. All right, let's go to Pam. Eugene, Oregon, first-time caller, it says right there. Hello, Pam. How are you today, and how can we help you?
Well, I suffer from severe anxiety and depression.
Okay.
And I see a psychiatrist for it. I've been counseling for approximately 30 years. And this all started, I'm sure, as a child, but also worsened in the early 70s, when my husband and I, husband of my children, not my last husband, we lost our little girl at an unknown blood disorder, an unknown virus that many doctors could not, even the specialists at the Children's Hospital, could not cure.
That's so sad.
And she was taken away at 27 months, okay. That marriage lasted, we had another child 4 weeks later. So they would have been a little over 2 years apart.
Yeah.
I threw myself into the baby, and that's how I survived. I had to be strong. My husband wasn't able to be strong. It was too difficult. He threw himself into work. And we didn't throw ourselves together in a marriage. And therefore, the marriage dissolved after 16 years. I waited 2 years, and I married again, and I married for 32 years. Very good marriage. Husband 15 years older, and a really solid, good marriage. He'd been divorced for 5 years. I'd been divorced for 2. We didn't break each other's marriages up.
Okay. Now, here's what we need. We need to get to your question for us. Okay, hold on. We'll get to it after this.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. We're talking with Pam, and Pam had a good marriage for 32 years and then had another marriage. That good marriage, but she's really struggling and has struggled for a long time with anxiety and depression. So you mentioned you thought it might be something from childhood. What do you think about that?
I think that my mother was very, very, very nervous. Very hardworking family. We didn't discuss things. We worked through them working. Mm-hmm. And I think some of it is that I know that my 32-year marriage was very good, and then he had 5 strokes and didn't know me. Uh-oh. And his daughter took power of attorney, and she took over and got us divorced.
Oh.
And I've never seen him since.
Oh. Tragic.
We were divorced, yeah.
So a lot of unfinished
stuff. Wow, so you've had people taken away from you prematurely.
Just taken away.
Right.
And I just suffer so bad from anxiety because I want people in my life. Mm-hmm. I want my friends. I had a breakdown. My friends just couldn't handle it, some of them. Mm-hmm. A couple stood in there with me, but I scared them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I scared myself.
So tell us what you want us to help you with, the reason for your call.
With making friends and getting rid of this horrible depression and anxiety.
Okay. Now,
or calming it down. Calming it down.
Yeah, I think, Pam, this is such a long history that to be able to calm it down and to not have it flare up as frequently or last as long, and to be able to recover from it and regroup, that is a more realistic goal, because we don't go from a lifetime of anxiety that was probably hardwired into us from your mom
to nothing. Right.
That's unrealistic. But yes,
absolutely,
using all of the resources to help calm it down so that you can be with people. Because when you're highly anxious, sometimes that repels others, right? If they feel anxious in your presence.
Well, it makes me not want to be around them. I hide in fear. I hide in my anxiety.
Right. So I'm hoping that your counselor is helping you work on the childhood issues and dissecting that. And then I think we always recommend a group process, and I think groups are really good because they help contain and they have some boundaries around them, and so one person doesn't get to take over the whole group with their anxiety, right? And it's a way of getting some good feedback from others. And
groups.
Yes.
Yeah.
Groups.
If you want friends, you have to go to groups that make you anxious to be there. Mm-hmm. And this phrase, do it afraid, that's, if I were your best friend, I would say, let's go to the Bible study for women at the big church down the road there and hope that there would be some safe, healthy, loving people there, or one or two that could become friends. But the more you isolate, the less chance you're going to have those friends. They're not going to come to you, and your fear has to be something that you use to do it, because you say, okay, well, I'm afraid of that. It's going to be good for me that I'm afraid of
it. Well, I'm afraid I don't have a car. I don't have transportation.
Well, maybe there's somebody, maybe there is somebody in that Bible study that would come and get you if you talk to the church and say, I want to come. Here's my dilemma.
Right. So, Pam, you have to take the limitations into consideration, but don't use them as excuses.
Yeah.
Right? You have to get resourceful and creative. And assisted living places often have shuttles or transport that they offer. Right? And so is it realistic for you to get out? And I would suggest, a women's Bible study. I would suggest if you could volunteer anywhere, because when you're working side by side with people, you can make friends that way. And then a life recovery group that just deals with recovering from strong emotions.
Right. All those things. Jim, you have a comment here
Pam, I think it's great that you're getting the help you need with a psychiatrist. There are some medications that sounds like you're on. That's good. When they talk about the group aspect, and it is fearful, I totally get that. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, since you're getting help in one way with like a psychiatrist and with a counselor, you don't have to. They don't have to be your counselor. They can be your friends. Mm-hmm. And with friends, we have fun with friends, and we laugh with friends, and you know, we go to the, we go do something special. We go have fun. We go out for coffee. We go to a movie. Whatever.
We start
it might be.
Very lighthearted.
Exactly. So take some bait when you do that. Don't feel like you need to just dump your issues on these people. You don't. You're getting that privilege by having. You know, by having somebody else that you're talking with. And when you go into the group that they're talking about, like a life recovery group, people who are also going through some of that, that's great because, again, now you're all working, you know, for a key thing. But when Steve says, go join that Bible study group at the church, there's Bible study groups at the church that, you know, it can be fun. They don't have to know every part of your story right immediately.
Right.
And sometimes having some serious fun with some people actually bond you together in a way, and you go, "Guy, this is great." And as you get to know them, then you know, in small pieces, they get to hear more about you. You get to hear more about them. And then on the volunteer side, I know people who are in your situation who volunteer at a hospital. They volunteer with children. They volunteer with pets. And guess what? In some ways, there's a healing process when you're not just thinking about what's going on with your life and what's happened in your past, but there's a real healing process when you're caring for somebody else, children. Somebody else in a hospital, you know, somebody in a hospital, things like that, and you might find some real assistance there and some real help.
Helping yourself by helping others,
yeah,
big deal. Also, if somebody picks you up, don't be thinking about your problem and how to talk about it.
Right.
Here's what the goal is: I want this to be the most enjoyable favor they've done anybody. So I'm going to ask about them, talk about them. We're going to laugh.
Mm-hmm.
Make it a good experience for them, and then they're going to come back and do it again and again. I'll send you Healing is a Choice. I hope that that will be helpful. The Secrets Women Keep by Dr. Jill Hubbard. I'll send that. Hope that that will help you. We have great resources because you need everything you can. If you look over in Ephesians 6, it says we're up against many evil forces, cosmic powers, rulers, authorities, and it says this: given that we're up against all of that, we need to take on the full, whole armor of God. So here's something to arm yourself with: a buddy to fight with, mm-hmm. who's got your back, a friend, and God's Word, God's truth. And you can get the one-year Bible for men, one-year Bible for women, every man's Bible. We have a lot of Bibles here. The Life Recovery Bible to get you into God's Word. God's Word has the ability to change the way we think. Speaking of that, any gift of any amount, I'll send you the brand new book, Every Believer's Thought Life. And I have... Jim Burns is holding it up. I have such a good response from this book. People are saying it's the real thing. It is full of wisdom. So I hope and pray if you're a believer, one of the every believer, and your thought life is a little bit of a struggle, like all of ours are, you'll support us. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We'll send you a copy of it to say thanks. 1-800-229-3000 to join us on the next program. I hope you will. Thanks, Jim, and thanks, Jill. See you next time.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.